Hi, everybody. Welcome to our show. This is English Digest, and I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It is our literature unit today, and tomorrow, and the next day.
Mm.
And, of course, as you know, everybody, when it's our literature unit, we talk about one special book. And the first day, we summarize the book. On the next day, we talk about the author. And on the third day, we go back to the novel and talk about some of the themes and reasons why you might like this book. Now, today's featured novel is Never Let Me Go by Kazuo Ishiguro, okay, which actually in Chinese I think is Shihei Isheng. That's how you say it in Chinese. And this guy actually was born in Japan, but he spent most of his life in the UK. So I guess he's not really Japanese.
Mm.
I mean, he's Japanese technically, but he grew up in the UK. So he even says himself that he thinks his writing is more like a British writing as opposed to Japanese writing.
Very interesting. The book, as Tom said, is Never Let Me Go. And it involves clones.
Clones.
Oh, yeah. Kind of interesting. We're getting into an area of life now in our world where robots and clones and technology seem to be getting stronger and stronger. So it's kind of interesting to see where this will lead.
Indeed. And we're going to be talking about this today. So first of all, we're going to read through today's featured article about our featured book, Never Let Me Go. Please listen carefully. In the novel Never Let Me Go, Kathy is a human clone created only to provide spare body parts for her human counterpart. This dystopian novel is her memoir. Kathy begins by taking the reader back to Hailsham, an experimental boarding school for young clones in the 1990s. Hailsham is run by guardians, ordinary humans that feel a sense of compassion for the subordinate species. The clones spend their days creating art and striving to impress Madame, the owner of a special gallery, with their handiwork. Despite frequent visits to the doctors, they live most of their childhoods unaware of what the future holds, until Miss Lucy, a guardian, reveals their tragic plight. Kathy develops a fondness for two particular classmates, Ruth and Tommy, and the trio grows close. Despite their intimacy, their friendships are often fraught with jealousy and conflict. Although Kathy has fallen in love with Tommy, Ruth and Tommy commence a romantic relationship, causing significant strain on everyone involved. When life at Hailsham eventually comes to an end, they move to the cottages, where they begin to integrate with the outside world. Faced with such harsh realities, Kathy struggles to sustain her friendships, so she signs up to become a carer. For 10 years, she nurses clones through their donations and completions or deaths. Sad circumstances see Kathy reunited with Ruth as she nears completion. Apologetically, Ruth admits she kept Tommy from Kathy. She tells Kathy that if two people are truly in love, they can ask Madame to postpone their completions. Shortly after Ruth's death, Kathy is reconciled with Tommy. Together they visit Madame one last time. Though Ruth's wish is fulfilled, as Kathy and Tommy live out his last days together, Madame is unable to give them what they desire. After Tommy's completion, Kathy prepares for her own donations and completion.
Okay, guys, let's get started. We're talking about the novel called Never Let Me Go.
Mm.
Kind of sounds like a song.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I know. This is a novel that I found out from a coworker that was actually made into a movie in 2010.
About 6 years ago.
I didn't see it myself.
I didn't either.
No?
Sorry, didn't see it. Maybe I did and I didn't know it. I don't know. But again, the title of the novel we're talking about today is Never Let Me Go. And it's about human clones and ethics.
Mm.
A clone is basically a copy of a living thing, an exact copy, a duplicate. It has to do with genetics and stuff like that. Technically speaking, twins are actually clones, although we don't refer to them as clones, but yes, they are basically exact copies of each other. other. And when you clone someone or an animal or something, you're trying to do it in the laboratory.
Typically, yeah, that's true. And ethics, what are ethics? Oh, it's a set of moral values or principles that guide your behavior and your conduct. How you respond to the world is sort of based on your ethics. If you have good moral ethics, you're a good person. If you don't, a lot of people probably don't trust you. You're probably not considered to be a very good person or honest person. Well, in this novel, we've got a character named Kathy, and she's a human clone. So she's an exact copy of some other human, and she was created only to provide spare body parts for her human counterpart. So whoever she's a clone of needed some extra body parts. Maybe her human counterpart had cancer or needed a new liver or kidney, so they had Kathy, so that Kathy could provide those body parts. If you're talking about some spare part, something that's spare means it's extra, you don't really need it. For example, if you're in New York, we have a lot of people who are homeless. And if you're on the sidewalk, they'll often ask you for your spare change. Do you have any spare change, extra change that you don't need? And if you drive a car, you probably have a spare tire in the back part of your car, in the trunk, in case you get a flat tire and you have to change it.
Okay, so in any case here, we're talking about spare body parts. Extra body parts, as Stephanie said, in case you need a new liver or maybe a new elbow or something. Who knows, maybe you have tennis elbow and your game is kind of suffering,
that
so
hurt.
You want a new elbow or something like that. And again, these are humans who are providing those spare body parts for their human counterparts. Your counterpart is like the same person as you in a different part of the world, or perhaps in a different industry or something, your counterpart. So basically, the clones are a copy of a real person or the original person, and that's their counterpart, their opposite.
Yeah, you kind of have the same function, perhaps, as somebody else. If you're the president of a company, another president in a different company is your counterpart. They have a similar job. Well, we're describing this novel as being dystopian. Dystopian. Dystopia is the noun form of this adjective, dystopian. And it's kind of a depressing word. It means it's kind of describing a society that's really full of misery. There's a lot of oppression. There's a lot of disease, overcrowding. It's a bad place. It's probably the opposite of heaven or paradise. So this is a novel that's a little bit depressing in, I guess, the way it's set up. So the background of this novel. It's also being described as Kathy's memoir. Your memoir is a book that describes your life. So usually people wait until they're older to begin writing their memoir. It's kind of their memories of their life that they've lived so far. So it's just a record of all the things that have happened to them. And it's written from a very personal point of view.
Yeah, it's similar to an autobiography, but key difference there is that a memoir is more personal. You're talking about your feelings and stuff, whereas an autobiography is more probably about your history, and it's probably a little colder, just dealing with the facts and stuff like that. And Kathy begins by taking the reader back to Hailsham, an experimental boarding school for young clones in the 1990s. So again, this is about Kathy. She's a clone. And she basically tells this story from the first person. She takes the reader back to the past here. She attended some kind of school called Hailsham. And what's that? Well, it's an experimental boarding school. A boarding school is basically a school in which the students both study and live at.
Yeah, I think there's a boarding school on the top of Yangmingshan where I substituted for a friend once. Yeah, there's a boarding school up there. So you don't go home for the weekend. You stay up there all the time. Holidays, sometimes the kids in boarding schools will go home to their families, but you live there even though you're not in college. Most of us are used to going away to college and living on our own, but for boarding schools, you're actually either in elementary school, junior high school, you're a little younger. So the young clones live there, and this novel is set in the 1990s, so we're kind of going back in time. Hailsham is run by people called Guardians. That's kind of their title in the book. And they're ordinary humans, just like you and me, right? And they feel a sense of compassion for the subordinate species. These clones aren't considered to be as important, of course, as the humans are, because they're only there alive on Earth because they're providing these spare body parts for their human counterparts. Now, if you're a guardian, of course, you take care of somebody. I was a guardian of my little younger brothers and sisters growing up. You know, I would babysit them, and my mom would say, you make sure they're okay. So they're run, this boarding school's run or taken care of or managed by these guardians. Now, it says here that they feel a sense of compassion for the poor clones. They feel sorry for them. If you have compassion for somebody, you look at their situation and you have a lot of deep sympathy for them, maybe even sorrow because they're going through something that's tough. Maybe they're very sick or they're very poor or they've lost somebody that they love. So you have a lot of sympathy for them.
Yep, the guardians have a lot of sympathy or compassion or feelings for the subordinate species. Again, these are the clones, and they're considered subordinate. Subordinate just means you're under somebody. You are outranked by somebody.
Uh-huh.
You can use this term to talk about people in the company, like people are subordinate to the boss, for example. Those are the subordinates, and superior is the opposite here. Although this does kind of have a negative connotation.
Yeah.
Just kind of means that you are a secondary, or you're inferior, you are lower in rank, so oftentimes this word is used to actually look down on people.
Well, the clones spend their days creating art, so they're artistic, and what they're doing is they're striving to impress someone we're calling Madam, Madame. If you strive to do something, you work really hard to do something, so you put a lot of effort into it. Madame is the owner of a special gallery with their hand, and is an owner of a special gallery where they display their handiwork. Your artwork could be described as your handiwork. Anything you make with your hands can be handiwork. It could be bread you bake. It could be some furniture you make. I had a boyfriend who was really good at making furniture, wood furniture. It could be something you sew, that you knit, things like that. Well, despite these frequent visits to the doctors, these poor clones live most of their childhoods unaware of what the future holds. They're just kind of waiting for their human counterpart to need some spare part. And then once they give some of their body parts over, they might not be able to continue living. You know, some of our body parts, we only have one. Mm. And if maybe the human needed their lungs or their heart, it's goodbye to the clone. So they're not sure what the future holds. It's uncertain. Until Miss Lucy, she's a guardian, she's a human, she reveals their tragic plight. Plight is a word that describes somebody's situation that is very tough. It could be very difficult, very sad. Wow, she had a tough plight. We typically don't use it in our speaking English. You'll just read it, so it's a condition that you're going through or a situation that's very unfortunate. So she kind of feels bad for these poor little clones. We're going to find out more why. But first, guys, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, 大家好，我是 Trevor， 欢迎收听 English Digest。今天为各位介绍的是 Unit 16文学单元 ，Never Let Me Go, Human Clones and Ethics。别让我走，复制人的人性与道德。首先，我们看到标题里的 clone，C-L-O-N-E， clone 可以当名词用，复制人的意思，也可以当动词用，复制的意思，而复制的名词是 cloning，C-L-O-N-I-N-G。文章的第一段说明这本小说以一名复制人凯西的回忆录带出一所叫海尔森的寄宿学校，复制人就住在那里。我们看到本段的倒数第二句 ，The clones spend their days creating art and striving to impress Madame, the owner of a special gallery, with their handiwork。这些复制人花费时日来创作艺术品，并竭力用他们的手工艺品让一间特别伊朗的拥有者夫人留下深刻的印象。其中的 strive S-T-R-I-V-E 在这里是奋力努力的意思。这里举几个单字和片语也同样是表达尽心尽力的意思。 endeavor endeavor 动词，它后面接原形动词，意思是尽全力。例如 Sarah endeavored to reach the peak of the mountain， 莎拉用尽全力抵达了山顶。片语 make an effort to 表示努力的意思。例如 Lucy made an effort to strike a balance between her work and personal life， 露西努力在工作与生活之间做出平衡。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Let's continue with our lesson, everybody. Again, we're talking about Never Let Me Go. That's our featured novel in today's literature unit. And it's all about clones, and they live at this school called Hailsham. And this story is narrated by Kathy. And, of course, these people really don't know who they are until one of the guardians at this school reveals their tragic plight. What's going to happen to them? Well, Kathy, again, the narrator of this novel, develops a fondness for two particular classmates, Ruth and Tommy. Okay, and the trio grows close. Mm-hmm. A group of three people together is a trio. Mm-hmm. You often see this in music, a jazz trio, for example, or even in classical music, you can have a trio as well. I think it's probably a cello, a piano, and a violin. That's mm-hmm. a trio. And in this case here, there's just a group of three, and they grow close. They become really close friends, Kathy, Ruth, and Tommy. They have this fondness for each other. Fondness is just when you are very fond of somebody, when you really like them, and you really appreciate their company, and you care about them.
It says here, despite or even though they have this great intimacy, their friendships are often fraught with jealousy and conflict. If you have or share some sort of intimacy with someone, it means you're very, very close. There's a close association with that other person. You have a deep understanding. You don't necessarily have to be in a romantic relationship to be intimate with someone, but you could be. But here they're just really, really close friends. Now, their friendships, though, are often, it says, fraught with jealousy and conflict.
Uh-oh.
I was in a trio when I was growing up, but it's hard to be in a friendship trio because usually two friends are closer than all three together. So sometimes there is jealousy. Oh, why do you like that person more than me? And it's kind of tough. If you're saying something is fraught with something else, it just means filled with that thing. So there's lots of jealousy and conflict in this little trio they have.
Okay, and of course, yes, fraught with danger, fraught with any other thing. Usually, to me, it sounds like it's something usually that's kind of bad.
Bad. So,
yeah, in this case, it's filled with jealousy and conflict. Although Kathy has fallen in love with Tommy, Ruth and Tommy commence a romantic relationship, causing significant strain on everyone involved. Yes, I can understand that. If Kathy loves Tommy, but then she's going out with Ruth, if I were Kathy, I would be very jealous, and Ruth would probably be jealous too because Kathy is chasing after Tommy. And you know how guys are when girls are chasing them. Boy, they just can't make up their minds which girl they want. So, of course, this causes a lot of strain. Strain is just pressure, especially pressure that is going to cause some problems later, but not just yet.
Yeah, it's just waiting to kind of break up their friendship, I would say. Strain. Sometimes if you have to lift something up that's really heavy, you can see the muscles on your neck start straining. That's not good for those either. So it's almost like the force or pressure gets too excessive and you're just waiting to kind of break. So there's a lot of strain on their relationship. Can imagine why. Well, when life at Hailsham eventually comes to an end, they move to what we're calling the cottages.
Ooh.
A cottage is a really cute, small home in the forest or out in the country. Usually they're pretty wonderful. But here the cottages is where they go after they've grown up in the boarding school. And they begin to integrate with the outside world. If you integrate with something or somebody, it's usually into a situation, it just means you mix together with that thing.
Mm-hmm. Or coordinate, you could also say, like Taipei's transit system integrates very well with the HSR. You can actually take the MRT to the HSR station. So they're very well integrated there. And here they are going to integrate with the outside world. They're going to start having relationships with real people outside of this school. Now, let's move on now to the final paragraph here. It says, faced with such harsh realities, Kathy struggles to sustain her friendships, so she signs up to become a carer. If you sustain something, you just keep it going.
So she is now a carer. So for 10 years, she nurses clones. She helps them through their donations when they have to give up those spare body parts. And through their completions, that's kind of the word we're using instead of saying their deaths. They're calling their lives are completed. So their completion is when they die. So sad circumstances, the situation here is sad. So you see Kathy reunited with Ruth as she nears completion. Here we're talking about Ruth getting ready to die. Apologetically, Ruth actually says she's so sorry and she apologizes to Kathy. She admits, you know what, Kathy, I actually kept Tommy from you.
Ooh.
Oh, so she knew Kathy loved Tommy and she purposely chased after Tommy so Kathy couldn't have him. She tells Kathy that if two people are really in love, they can ask Madame to postpone their completions. If you postpone something, guys, you put it off. For example, you might need to go to the dentist, but you really don't want to because you know it's going to hurt. So you might change your appointment and push it back a little, postpone it to a date in the future so you don't have to face it.
So yes, indeed, they asked Madame to postpone their completions or their deaths, and shortly after Ruth's death, Kathy reconciles with Tommy. If you reconcile, you kiss and make up. Well, not necessarily romantically. It could involve any kind of relationship that fell apart at one point, but you get back together and you say you're sorry and you explain things to each other and you say, oh, let bygones be bygones. Let's start new. And so basically they kind of rekindle their friendship and together they visit Madame one last time. Now, though Ruth's wish is fulfilled as Kathy and Tommy live out his last days together, Madam is unable to give them what they desire. You know, the rules are pretty strict here. You know, they're clones after all. There's probably some laws that say, nah, sorry, you guys, this has to happen to you. You were born to help out real people.
Right. So after Tommy's completion or his death, we could say that, Kathy prepares for her own donations and completion. So, like the other clones, it looks like Kathy's going to be called upon to donate some of her body parts to her human counterpart as well, and then complete her life, or as they say here, finish out her life in this completion, you know, phase. I don't know how I feel about this. I'm glad I'm a human and not a clone. Right now, someone who's very human is our Chinese teacher. Let's listen one more time.
接着我们看到第二段。 本段说明凯西逐渐和露丝以及汤米成为亲密好友。不过后来他们的友谊变得越来越错综复杂。本段的第二句, Despite their intimacy, their friendships are often fraught with jealousy and conflict. 尽管他们的关系相当亲密,他们的友谊却充满了嫉妒和冲突。其中的are fraught with, 形容词 fraught, F-R-A-U-G-H-T, 是充满的的意思。 相当于 be filled with 和 be full of. Fraught 这个字单独使用的时候可以表示忧虑的、令人担忧的意思。例如 Judy sounded rather fraught on the phone. I wondered what had happened. Judy 在电话中听起来相当忧虑。我不知道发生了什么事情。我们再看到本段的最后一句 When life at Hailsham eventually comes to an end, they move to the cottages where they begin to integrate with the outside world. 当在海尔森的生活终于告一段落时,他们搬至卡提基,在那里他们开始融入外面的世界。其中的where为关系副词的用法,兼具副词和连接词的功能,可以引导形容词子句。本句原为 cottages, 逗号, which they begin to integrate with the outside world in. 将介系词 in 移到关代 which 前面，若先行词为地方，介系词加 which 就等于 where。 我们看到最后一段，本段说明凯西有十年时间担任照料复制人度过他们的捐献到死亡的看护工作。在这期间，他的好友露丝和汤米陆续过世，而他自己也要准备面对自己的第一次捐赠。本段的第一句， Faced with such harsh realities, Kathy struggles to sustain her friendships, so she signs up to become a carer. 面对如此残酷的现实，凯西努力地维持他的友谊，所以他报名成为一名看护。其中的 sustain, S-U-S-T-A-I-N, 在这里是维持、维生的意思。例如， So far, there are only two of the planets we know of that might sustain life. 目前为止，我们所知道只有两个行星有可能具备维生条件。 sustain 还有几个其他常见的意思，例如支撑。A cup of coffee isn't enough to sustain David until lunchtime. 一杯咖啡不足以让大卫支撑到午餐时间。当作蒙受、遭受的意思的时候，我们可以说 The man sustained heavy losses in the fire. 那名男子在一场大火中蒙受严重的损失。我们最后再看到本段的第五句。 She tells Kathy that if two people are truly in love, they can ask Madame to postpone their completions.他告诉凯西，如果两个人真心相爱，他们可以向夫人请求延后他们的完结。其中的 postpone, P-O-S-T-P-O-N-E, 是动词，有延后、延期的意思。以下补充一些单字都有拖延的意思。 delay, D-E-L-A-Y, 表示因为外界因素而延迟或耽误。例如Due to the storm, our flight to Hong Kong was delayed. 由于暴风雨，我们去香港的班机被延迟了。Prolong, P-R-O-L-O-N-G, 指的是把时间延长至超过正常的限度。例如 Alice wanted to prolong her vacation in Iceland, but unfortunately, she didn't have enough money to do so. 爱丽丝想要延长她在冰岛的假期，不过很不幸的，他没有足够的钱这么做。以上就是今天的课程讲解，我们下次见。
Okay, that's it for today, but make sure you tune in next time when we talk about the actual author of Never Let Me Go, Kazuo Ishiguro. Until then, from all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye. Bye.